This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
They need help in the trenches, and I think Sean McDermott wants that, Brandon Bean wants that, whether it's defensive tackle or defensive end, and it is a very good class at both of those positions. It's not just Abdul Carter. It's not just Mason Graham inside for Michigan, and even if teams need those premium positions, there are enough that feel like they are going to be first-round caliber, and it's a really good edge rusher and interior defensive line class, so it will come down to the grades. It'll come down to, of course, what the Bills prioritize and, of course, what they do in free agency, filling some of those defensive needs in the trenches.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, going to have a weekly segment with Shopin' the Bulldog Wednesdays at 4 p.m., talking a lot about this draft class. And Derek, I, for one, I think this draft perfectly sets up for what the Bills need.
The beef and cheese.
The beef and cheese wagon, baby.
The beef.
We had the wide receiver train last year. This year, it's the beef and cheese wagon. Slowly turning, to the side of the train. They need the big boys. And that's a big part of it too. They need, space eaters. They need help in the trenches. Matt Parrino.
Get in my belly.
Matt Parrino, yesterday with Bulldog, brought up a really good point too, that I think the Bills need to kind of change their draft process, or maybe how they identify prospects, is maybe take some risks. Looking back at last year's class, they ultimately take Cole Bishop in the second round, and he sat most of the year, partially due to the fact that, kind of didn't need him to play. They were fine at the safety position. But what about a guy like Tavondre Sweat, who won the Outland Award last year for the best defensive lineman in college football, is a big guy, 6'4", 345 pounds, and fleet of foot. He's one of the few positives on the Tennessee Titans, but he had some red flags character-wise.
So, yeah, taking a risk, especially with the culture that you've built within this team, I feel like it's something that you can do. Good rosters have typically a little bit more of that wiggle room, that freedom, when it comes to grabbing a guy that might have that sort of issue.
I think for a long time, the Bills too aggressively have written off anyone that doesn't fit. And I could be wrong. I'm not inside the building.
Maybe that's what
it feels like.
That could be also what makes the culture so good, is that they make sure to grab high character guys.
But it kind of becomes like, why build that culture if you're not willing to then, kind of bring guys who maybe aren't perfect for it, but you can help mold them.
Yes.
I think the Bills should have.
How strong is the culture really, question mark?
Ed Nye Mitchell was a guy I brought up for this a lot last year, where it was his big problem was he seemed to be kind of a flighty practice player. But a lot of it seemed to stem from his lack of taking his insulin on time.
Yes.
He's suffering with diabetes, and so that became a huge issue. My thing, and I kind of went away from Ed Nye a little bit once Diggs was gone, but my whole point was, you've built this great locker room,
this great
culture.
You think McDermott is making sure that that's happening on schedule? You better bet.
Well, and that was my whole point, is like, you have Stephon Diggs, who's a crazy person in terms of his you know,
intensity
and how he's going to be practicing and how he's going to perfect his craft. You put then a talented receiver like Adonai Mitchell with him, and again, I mean, his rookie year kind of went awry a little bit. I blame mainly quarterback, and I will die on that hill. I mainly blame quarterback. But he was somebody I would have loved for them to have taken a shot at. Tavondre Sweat was another guy. I wrote one of our draft articles on him, the same thing. And his issues sort of came out a little bit later about what he was. But it never seems like the Bills want to take those risks. Looking back to this Eagles team that just won the Super Bowl, it's like all risks.
It's
guys who maybe aren't going to make it, but they've got an incredible leader in Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And they've got a really well-established culture of guys who have been there, done that, know what to do in the league, and can handle a little bit of drama.
And the Bills, honestly, are just as equipped for that.
I agree.
They've been there, done that, save for one piece. They've done everything except for the really two things that you could do. Gain a one seed and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they've done everything else in between. Why not?
I think especially when you need sort of that game breaker, that elite level player, you got to take some risks.
You need some talent sometimes, and sometimes talent comes with an inherent risk. That said, I know the general manager is not scared of that. Why? He tried to trade for Antonio Brown once.
He did. That's right. He did. He did do that.
I know Brandon Bean is not afraid of it at all. I know Sean McDermott's not afraid of it at all. Why? Because they took a good-hearted stab at probably the worst locker room presence in modern history.
But even look who they ultimately did trade for, Stephon Diggs. What was his perception before he got to Buffalo? He's a diva.
Yep.
He's going to want out of Buffalo in 15 minutes once he finds out Josh Allen's throwing the ball. And they still made that move. Even Von Miller, not really, you know, necessarily those issues, but they're big swings. I want them, though, to start doing that in the draft, too.
And I
trust
think that
your culture, trust your basically your foundation to put maybe guys who aren't,
one may say,
the
trust
best.
The process.
Trust the process. And I guess it's my thing is, look, were you ever going to get a shot at a Jalen Carter? No, he was gone way before
that. He was pick 9.
But
it was also a surprise that he got to pick 9.
Yeah. But
because he was that good.
But I do look at guys like Tavondre Sweat and Adonai Mitchell, who I think both, if they were on the Bills, would have been very successful this year. Adonai Mitchell, for a good period of the year, his separation stats for rookie receivers, even though his numbers were down, were incredibly high. That's why I blame the quarterback a lot.
And that's why I think that, like, it may come off as arrogance,
mm-hmm.
but the Bills absolutely should be doing these sorts of things because of the fact that they are a steady presence. They are a steady winner. They are one of the most consistent, dominant teams in the NFL. They are a presence year in, year out. Who doesn't want to play for that?
Yeah.
And I say that and it sounds arrogant as hell. But
it's where you're at, though.
But that's where they are. They are a consistently recognizable force now within the league circles. Buffalo is not just this place of cold and chicken wings. They also now have a good football team.
Yeah, guys.
You could add that to the list.
Which is huge. And that's the thing, too, is you're not, you know, the Buffalo Bills of the past or even like the New York Jets now, where you go there and you're like, I'm making my money.
Where you had to sell the barn to get Mario Williams here, which was a big deal. But
it was a huge deal. But a lot of it, I mean more to along the lines of,
now it's not a big deal.
Well, but for me, it's also, you're not going to get guys that necessarily are going to like be on their best behavior, maybe, you know, to lack of a better phrase. You get to Buffalo, it's, okay, I'm playing with Josh Allen. McDermott, they're always in the AFC Championship, or they're always, you know, one of these best teams. I have got to lock in. I think that does play a factor of you know, showing up to a current Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, Philadelphia Eagles, compared to showing up to the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets, the Raiders.
Even like a team like Indy.
Indy, yeah, is a lot of it too, where, you know, they might kind of let it slide a little bit. They may not be as tight on some of these guys where, like you mentioned, with Sean McDermott, you think he was not going to be on top of Adonai Mitchell to take his insulin if that really was an issue?
Exactly.
Or Tavondre Sweat, kind of speeding a lot?
Yeah.
You may have had some troubling headlines early. Look at Jordan Addison is maybe the perfect example for Minnesota.
I hate to say it like this, but again, I know the team's not scared of it. They drafted a punter that had some very major issues with character. So they're not scared of it, I don't think. I think they just are believing more in – yeah, I don't think they're necessarily always about this culture over talent issue. Because they've proven in the past that they can do this, or they're willing to do this. They're willing to take a stab at this sort of thing. Ready? Even Von Miller.
Yeah.
Von Miller didn't have the cleanest character record.
No. I think some stuff in college as well.
He had the domestic issues before coming to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new.
I want to get to a point in the draft.
I'm not advocating for draft the worst people possible. I'm saying that this team is not scared of it.
No, and I agree. And that's my thing, too. I'm not talking about, like, blazing red flags. It's like, no, it's Akin. He's still great. No, I mean, if they're really falling because of such issues, I get it. But I don't want to, like, write somebody off because it's like, nah,
yeah,
he might be a little lazy in practice.
It's not like you're advocating to be the mid-2000s Cincy Bengals.
No. But they need difference makers. It can't all be, you know, the best PR answers you've ever heard kind of guys or stuff like that.
And again, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I've seen this team take stabs like this before. I would expect that they will continue to do so.
I like, though, that you don't think they have any kind of buyer's remorse from Von Miller.
No.
That's something I thought about maybe talking about later this week, but you seem pretty confident that it's not going to hurt him at all.
Here's why. Because it's the same stance that I had about the Xavier Worthy nonsense from the start of the year.
Mm.
If you are scared of that sort of thing, you're not an NFL GM. You're just one of us arguing with a microphone or a phone call or whatever, or on Twitter.
I'd like him never to trade with the Chiefs, though, again, just personally.
Ready? I don't care. Do it again. As a matter of fact, do it to piss everyone off, to make your team better.
Yeah,
That's the thing. That's how I know that Brandon Bean is not scared, is because he knows that he's going to do what he thinks is best for the team. I know the man's not scared. Because what do people call him? Big Baller Bean. Make the baller moves.
It's partially why people believe that the Bills will even be involved in a Myles Garrett potential trade.
And the fearlessness of a general manager being willing to take these swings, that's why I know there's no remorse on that sort of thing. Again, the man tried trading for Antonio Brown. You want to talk about fearlessness? That is staring at the face of fear and laughing in its face.
It is
Brandon
wild
Bean.
How just
I know,
Pittsburgh has insane receivers.
I know the man has no fear over what has happened in the past. I know that there is one drive, and that is get over the bleeping hump for the love of everything. So yeah, I expect they're going to be in on getting a star pass rusher because they tried it. The idea didn't work because of bad luck, not because the player was cheeks when he signed. No, it was he declined because he got hurt.
Yeah.
This wasn't Trent Murphy.
No, that was a miss.
Yeah.
No,
they will
not
be scared of the idea. If the price is right, they will acquire somebody.
But, I mean, like me and Sal have talked about it a lot, too, of, you know, those first 9-10 games before that Thanksgiving game against the Lions, it was a perfect signing. It was exactly what the Bills needed. Von Miller came up with the closing play for the Chiefs' regular season game that year that ultimately gave the Bills the win. I mean, it worked. The problem you rightfully bring up, it was bad luck. It was an injury. He declined not because of his own ability, but because of an injury. I will say, though, in part, I'm always going to be a draft-first guy. I mentioned it in the first hour. I'm very rarely going to be big on trades. Pass rusher, though, and quarterbacks are the two, especially in the draft, I'm willing to do.
And
I love this defensive tackle class so much, and I think that was a big issue why they weren't getting
pressure. It's about a shot in the arm for me.
Yeah, I get
that.
That's
what I think this is that the Bills ascended to a new level when they made a trade for a veteran acquisition. And a name that would actually like really ring some doorbells and go, hey, they're serious. And this is the next step. For me, you get a star player on this defense, something that they are missing and have been now for the last couple of years. They need a star player on defense too, because you look at them and you go, you've got a bunch of good players, none of which I'm going and saying great. Yes, I know there's a recognition problem with Buffalo. Good for Christian Benford for getting a vote for Defensive Player of the Year.
That's awesome.
That is also the only player on that team that got a vote for Defensive Player of the Year. You need some recognition, you need some star power, and you need a difference maker. All of these things can be true. And I know the general manager will think the same damn thing. He is not afraid of making the trade to bring in a difference maker.
But I do look at the draft, and I think you can get difference makers there, I think especially this year. I look at what the Rams
look at Brandon Bean's draft record with defensive linemen, and I don't love it.
So, I mean, but is that really the big thing for you?
No. One thing does not guarantee the other.
Okay.
That said, I know that it's going to be my hill to die on. And if I die on it, then I'm dead. Okay? You can all celebrate after. But I think that this is the next step for them, is getting that star player on defense and having it be an established guy, kind of like the Stephon Diggs trade. You bring in an established talent to help this team ascend. Because there is still some ascension to do.
I mean, there's still some ascension to do. They also do have some young defensive players that you maybe could get excited about. Javon Salmon didn't play a ton, but he had 2 sacks. And you
he was really fun as a splash rotational defensive player.
And you wonder, you know, going into year two, and you do add, let's say, a Miles Garrett or Max Crosby, what does it do for him? I know a lot of us talk about Groot potentially being a part of a trade there, so maybe he's not on this roster. But it doesn't help out Ed Oliver in the interior.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, 1,000%. What does a premier edge rusher do? Makes a quarterback collapse into the pocket, step into the pocket. And what do you have there? You have one of the better pass rushing defensive tackles in the National Football League.
His biggest problem, honestly, I don't even necessarily think it's him. It really is if he does not have a space eater next to him, because he's always been an undersized defensive tackle.
He's a smaller defensive tackle.
And that's why I do bring up, you know, guys like Trevondre Sweat, or even this year, I'm a big Kenneth Grant guy. He seems to be my number one for defensive tackle. You add him, I think that also helps out Oliver and maybe even the outside pressure, but
But
you're also hoping, you know, for immediate rookie impact.
Welcome to the beef and cheese wagon.
It's going to happen.
Beef. Draft the beef, get the cheese, which is the zingy, zesty cheese, the pass rush. Beef and cheese. That's my thing this year. Large boys, boring draft class. Give me big boys. Give me space eaters.
Mm-hmm.
And give me not having a first-round pick because you traded it to go get a top-tier pass rusher. Boring draft to start it.
How much are you not going to like this offseason if they don't trade for Garrett? Or Crosby.
You shrug your shoulders and you move on.
Okay.
I'm not going to create any sort of like – I'm not going to make any issues of it if they don't, because, first of all, I'm used to being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, if they don't do it, they don't do it. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It was just an idea. And it is a philosophy that I think they should do. But again, I'm not an NFL GM.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know the GM ain't afraid.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't think the GM's afraid.
No,
I mean, we were talking about it before.
He's not hesitant. You mentioned like how I suspect that there is no buyer's remorse. There better not be.
Mm.
Like there's a regret over what happened
and how it went down.
How it all went down, but that's it. You're upset about the circumstances that happened, not the idea. And chasing the idea is what makes me hopeful about this. And that's why I'm going to stand on this hill. That's why I'm getting on the Beef and Cheese Express.
We were talking about it, though, even before we jumped on today. When you're talking about that and everything that kind of went on there, you do wonder, though, if they even have the ability to go get Miles
Garrett. Asset-wise, they are actually stronger than I think in years past. You have multiple second-round picks. You have your first-round pick.
Garrett, and that's just this year.
Garrett in particular is the aim because of the less cap gymnastics you have to do. Crosby has a bigger cap hit. Hendrickson's going to command a bigger cap hit. If you want to do this and it's easier on your cap space, work with Cleveland, who also is putting their hands up and surrendering this year. Like they're the Will Levis surrender cobra after tossing that weird lateral pick six in the first week.
His first month was
Cleveland season is next year is that. Just surrender Cobra and you deal with it. Work with the Browns, see what you got to do, and find the best deal for the team to help you win. That said, again, it doesn't have to be Garrett. Garrett is the face of my ideal, which is get a star player for this defense. I'm not worried about it if it is a player in the secondary. A ball hawk safety would be a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You had two box safeties starting for you for the most of last year.
Yeah.
Tell me they don't get even more turnovers or more big plays out of a ball hawking safety like what Micah Hyde was for this team.
I agree.
I would say they need a rangy safety because that's how that defense's philosophy works.
You think they're going to do that in free agency? I feel like safety might be one of the few positions they really
they might try to fortify it.
Yeah,
I do agree. Taylor Rapp was this interesting low-key idea for grooming to be one of the starting safeties. But
you got a little bit of a look at it.
But now you're starting to see like he's probably a replacement-level player.
I fully believe they're going to do Cole Bishop, last year's draft, second-round pick, this year, free agency. And that might be like one of their few moves in free agency.
And then
outside of retaining guys.
And then draft and free agency is Beef and Cheese.
I mean, I think so too.
I mean, draft and trademark it, I should say.
I am looking at the Rams though in 2024, last year's draft, as maybe the perfect template. Because when we look at the Eagles, again, they were the ninth overall pick and they get Carter. When you look at the Rams 2024 draft, it's those first two selections. Verse at 19, he ultimately goes on to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. And then they draft his compatriot at Florida State, Braden Fisk, in the second round at pick 39.
Beef and Cheese.
And look at how those two were. Verse wins Defensive Rookie of the Year and is a Pro Bowler. Verse gets 8.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and he's one of the better young defensive tackles in football. And overnight, it changed their defense. Now, did you nail both those picks? Yes. And like you have mentioned, Brandon Bean, not just defensive lineman, but really the early round drafts have been frustrating.
The problem is it's not just the drafts. Brandon Bean, with free agents, has also not done the greatest of jobs.
But then
you look at
those new coaching additions they brought in.
But that's why the ideal of a trade for an established player is there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have guesswork in this. That's why Myles Garrett's the face of the idea for me. Is
there is no guesswork
there's
involved.
There's no guesswork
here. Great. Yeah.
You know he's great. Get him. He's available. Get him.
I look at the last two Super Bowl winners, though, and it's cheap, young defensive talent, not the big swings necessarily.
It is, but I do think that it's a step in the right direction. Because the Bills do have enough of those players. What are they lacking? A difference maker. A game stealer.
Mm-hmm.
Why are the Pittsburgh Steelers relevant?
Yep.
And it's not just because T.J. Watt steals them games. It is because they have enough defensive talent across the roster that when Watt goes into cheat code mode, they win games.
Yeah.
Like, I think back to the Bengals game in week one of a couple of years ago. They pick off Burrow like four times.
Yeah, he's awful.
T.J. Watt was a menace for them. And the only reason the Bengals were even in that game is because Matt Canada's offense. But it's because that roster has a collective. The Bills have a collective of talent. Add me that cherry on the top.
That's also a good point, too. Like what does it do for Terrell Bernard's game and Christian Benford's game?
What does it do for Ed Oliver? What does it do for whoever's on the other edge?
Do all of a sudden, Terrell Bernard goes from a damn good middle linebacker to a Pro Bowl, maybe All-Pro middle linebacker?
Benford, he's not the focus.
Yeah. He's not the focus. He can kind of just, he's been a turnover machine. That's why a lot of us loved him right away when he took over for Tremaine Edmonds. Was this guy can make big plays. That was always Edmonds' big issue. He was going to be there just a step late, where Bernard is there a step on time, and he's right there when he needs
might
to make
even
a play.
Be a step ahead.
Might be even a step ahead. I mean, and then they have young guys like Dorian Williams, who for a little bit there made people believe, Matt Milano, he's a nice fun piece to have. We've got our outside linebacker. Or I mentioned Javon Salmon in his rookie year, not getting a ton of play time, 2 sacks.
And you
wonder if he's going to be kind of a guy for them in the next few years of a closer sort of deal.
And what helps a young defensive secondary? Because that's what the Bills are going to have to turn into now.
Yeah.
Give me that top-tier guy. Give me a pass rush headlined by someone that takes the focus and still wins anyway.
I'm preparing for the Bills to not have the capital to do it.
Give me a guy who can command double teams and still beat them.
I'm telling you, I'm preparing, and I want it to happen. I think the Bills have the cojones to do it. I think they have the will to do it. I don't know.
They have the assets to do it.
I think they have the assets, but I think a team like Washington is going to be, because they can have the cap space, they don't have to do too much. The Bills are going to have to do a little bit more. I mean, they're behind two teams in terms of available cap space. Like, Washington is going to be aggressive this year.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing is, it's going to be very difficult to outbid them.
If you lose out to another team, that's fine. I still that's why I'm not
except ride or, Kansas City or Philadelphia.
That's why I'm not ride or die on this hill. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to die on the hill, but I'm not going to scream out no if they don't have it happen. Will I be dejected? Yes. I'll be more irritated that another team probably ponied up more. That's what it's going to be for me. It's going to be like, curse you, Washington. Why'd you give up an extra first round pick? Or whatever the context is going to matter here.
Yep.
But again, I think it's just the idea to me makes enough sense to want to be on.
That you're on this train. That you're going with it.
Beef and Cheese Express.
This year, Washington has a first round pick, 29th, right behind the Bills.
Right
Bills
behind,
pick at
30th. Right in front of them, yeah.
They have 1 second, 1 third, 1 5, 1 sixth, and 2 sevens.
I think the Bills are better equipped to make a deal. More assets.
It could be.
Washington, though, might be more prone to giving up more in the future.
That's more my thinking, is that because of the cap space and
not
because
just the cap
what
space,
the team is looks like now.
You also have a quarterback on a rookie deal. You can get away with more.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the cap space on that. Having the rookie deal quarterback and also just telling this young team, let's do this, is never a bad idea.
Well, yeah, especially when you find the young quarterback that changes. I mean, we've seen it countless times now that having that young quarterback just changes fundamentally the franchise.
And the Bills do have to play a little behind the eight ball there now.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you can't pull these things off. And why Garrett's the face is because he costs the least amount on your cap.
Yep.
You will have to give up more premier of assets, but you have less gymnastics you have to do. It's a trade I think I'm willing to make. It's a deal I'm willing to make with, not having as much cap gymnastics you have to do. I'm willing to part with more assets to get him because of that fact. Give me that dude. Boring day one and day two. You and I are going to be sitting here on draft night and day one going, why are we here?
Oh, I won't be.
Because
Kenneth Grant's going to be there at third and he'll be like, here we go, boys. Here we go.
It's going to happen where we're going to be sitting here on day one of the draft talking about, yeah, they gave up their pick for a premier pass rusher. Why are we here?
Could be. 803-0550, the number to call. Rob, we'll get to your call after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer with you for another half hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.